Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out! Here comes the Spider-Man.
All right, hello and welcome to the S-Words Podcast. This week about Spider-Man. You can tell we're very excited about it. I am Kevin Chu.
I am Win Myun Kim.
And with us we have guest host, returning guest host, Mr. Mike Lee. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Yes, returning from stuff.
I was on one of your previous stuff broadcasts.
Oh, yeah, he was.
What a bad co-host you are, Mr.
I am a terrible co-host.
And brand new for us, Mr. Alex Lau.
Of the San Francisco Laos.
So we're going with the usual question we like to ask at the very beginning of every podcast. Mr. Dom, I believe you know what it is.
So when was the first time you saw or read Spider-Man?
For me, the first time was way back in the 70s. Back when I was a little kid,
and I was
learning
a sperm.
How to read, and
I wasn't even created as a sperm by that point.
Yeah. Mike, you were alive in the 70s.
Late 70s. Yes, I was a sperm in the late 70s.
Yeah. You got to live in Star Wars era, you jerks.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Alex, did you see Star Wars in the theater?
Yes, I did.
You know, I saw Return of the Jedi in my mom's womb.
I saw all three original Star Wars movies, the only ones that exist, in the theater.
You're such a jerk, because I saw these other three ones that were not Star Wars movies. So I don't know what those were.
All right.
I saw Empire in a drive-in theater.
Oh, my God.
And Return of the Jedi.
Back when drive-in theaters
existed. Yes.
Or when they were cool.
All right, Mike. When was your first Spider-Man experience?
My first Spider-Man was probably in the early 80s. It's when I started reading newspaper comics.
Started in the newspapers.
Syndicated Spider-Man comics.
Back when Spider-Man was in the newspaper, even. He's still in some, right?
Yes.
Right now?
I believe so.
Yes. Yeah. My first experience with Spider-Man was actually Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends in reruns in the 80s.
Iceman and Firestar.
I went back and tried to watch those again. Oh, my goodness.
My introduction to Spider-Man was through another hero we like to know as Superman. So when Superman died in the early 90s, I started getting into comic books and I started reading Spider-Man, and Venom was just so awesome. And now I realize what a stupid kid I was.
God, he's so young.
I know. Oh, freaking A, man.
These kids these days.
I didn't get to experience very much of the very good Spider-Man arcs, but let's go straight into that. So we know Spider-Man really changed around the moment when Spider-Man married Mary Jane. So, I mean, like, what was the big contrast between, you know, those different types of periods? I mean, before he married Mary Jane and afterwards. I mean, there was that whole transition from him being a kid to an adult.
That is true. I mean, as far as I go, the marriage happened probably when I was still in elementary school, honestly. But the big thing I remember about it was it occurred simultaneously in the newspaper comics, which I read a lot. And the comic books, which I very rarely did because comic book store was downtown. As a kid like me, going to get downtown.
When I heard about Spider-Man getting married to Mary Jane, that shocked the heck out of me because
it was
something permanent happening in a comic book. Something good happening to Spider-Man for one thing, Peter Parker. And because Peter Parker, this is like Batman getting married. Peter Parker. His whole character is a loser boy.
Well, a nerd boy at least. Not necessarily a loser boy.
Yeah, who are you calling a loser?
He's a hard luck case.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Right. He is a hard luck case.
Nothing good ever happens to him.
It's a rare thing for a good thing to happen to him. That's true.
He's Charlie Brown with superpowers.
and a genius level intellect.
With a genius level intellect.
True, yes.
That is a very, very good choice of words for the analogy about him to Charlie Brown. I never thought about it, but actually it fits very well.
Well, there you go.
So, and then here he is getting married to a supermodel because Mary Jane in the comic book version, at least, is a supermodel. She's world famous.
Little red haired girl.
She's not that. For those of you who only know her from the movie version, she's super famous in the Marvel universe.
Oh yeah,
yeah. She doesn't start off like the movie version where she's just trying to get herself into the whole acting biz during that whole time.
She, at least in the 1990s cartoon version, she's the girl next door. Did she start as that too? I mean, I remember the storyline is that their aunts know each other and they introduce
them
to
each
other, right?
That part is accurate. The way it came through in the comics.
Okay.
They did grow up next to each other. They were, as they say in Japanese, osana najimi, the childhood friends.
So let's talk about this. We've gotten Spider-Man. He's sort of starting to grow up as soon as he marries Mary Jane. And this is, let's talk about an issue that came up when I was still reading Spider-Man. And this is like the true modernization of Spider-Man. When they introduced Venom, how did Spider-Man change? Now, I'm just not talking about the actual stories, but the fans. There was a considerable amount of change as soon as that character showed up in the universe, correct?
It's a product of the era. The 90s, for comics as a whole.
The really, Liefeld age, right?
It really moved into a more extreme. Extreme with an X.
Yes, X. Snicked X extreme.
Yes. Extreme mentality where everyone had to be super ripped if they're a guy and have huge tits if they're a girl. I mean, it was just the way it was. It's the way it became. And even Mary Jane was not immune. Thanks, McFarlane.
Oh my god.
That's right.
There's gonna be a lot of bitch slapping of him, isn't there?
No.
I mean, like, Alex, like, let's think about it. Like, you started very early on, even before the whole marriage issue, and now we're bringing in McFarlane. He's really changing a lot of the industry. I mean, we know how much McFarlane changed the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what were your feelings about it? I'd really like to know, because, I never had that transition.
Stopped, really.
Oh, dang.
What was your reaction to the first release of variant covers when they, didn't they restart Spider-Man?
Oh, yes, that's right. There's variant covers for Amazing Spider-Man number 300.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I may have one of those.
Is that the marriage issue?
No. It's the introduction of Venom.
Okay, I know that the marriage issue had variant covers. One with
Peter, I have variant number E.
Really?
Someone hit the window! Yeah!
Toilet, which is funny.
Someone hit the toilet! Congratulations.
All right, let's restart that.
What? You don't want to include it?
Oh, fine.
Thanks, McFarlane.
Thanks,
McFarlane. So I have variant E of the wedding issue, or variant D, something really late, and also like my comic of that marriage issue is pretty much looks like it's been chewed by a dog.
You probably mean the print run number.
Yes, the print run number. Yeah. Correct.
There was actually a variant cover, like on the initial release.
Correct.
There was one with Peter Parker on the cover, and the other one had Spider-Man, and the rest of it was, I believe, the same.
Yeah, I think they've had variant covers for other event type things before. Going way back, even before, they had one for the Death of Superman, if I remember right, and
I have the second print with the cape on the stick. Well, not the tombstone one.
Yeah.
Not like either is worth very much anymore.
You had to line up
a zillion of those,
like, for hours to get that first run, and it really wasn't worth it.
All right, so.
I love how Spider-Man has become Superman.
They are both S words.
So before we go off, and I mean, we're really gonna touch a lot of modern history with Spider-Man. So what I really want to do is look at Spider-Man during the age when he was still a boy, when he was still sending photographs to J. Jonah Jameson, before he became a teacher with the whole modernization of the Straczynski era. I mean, how was that Spider-Man? I mean,
well,
I've read a few stories, like the Ditko and Stan Lee stories, the really kind of innocent kind of Spider-Man, the one we know in the movies, actually.
Yeah, so here's the thing is that, remember that the big revolution of the 60s with Marvel was the introduction of the common man hero. Not the superhero necessarily, but, you know, like the Fantastic Four were amazing because, hey, look, they're a family. There's a brother and there's a sister and these two are married and stuff. They're called the first family of comics for that reason. Spider-Man was this kid who got powers.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get his powers by going into intensive training like Batman or by being an alien like Superman.
And you have to remember the origin of the first Mr. Perfect the Fair Play guy. Is that Mr. Perfect? No, it's
Mr. Terrific.
Sorry. Mr. Perfect was a wrestler. Sorry. But the original,
Kurt Hennig.
The original Mr. Terrific was just this Olympic level athlete / genius / millionaire who got bored of life.
Fair play.
And the thing was that
he's still popular now.
This is the original one. The new one is a different guy.
Oh, okay.
Third smartest man on the planet.
Yeah.
That just shows you how young I am.
The original Mr. Terrific was really boring because he was just this super rich, super smart, super athletic guy. And he was fighting crime because he was bored and he wanted to, you know, just fight crime as his challenge in life.
Yeah. Spider-Man, when he first came out in the 60s and 70s, was popular because I could be him.
He got bullied by kids at school.
Yeah, there was a certain relatable ability to that character, right? Like,
yeah. In fact, when I was a little kid, I didn't like Spider-Man because he was a big old teenager in my little elementary school. Yeah. I can't relate to him. I want to be like Superman, but I don't want to be like
yeah,
this,
so that's
like
the whole
this,
thing is that
bullied teenager guy. Yeah.
You remember that you look at the poster boys. Everybody wants to be Superman, but everyone could be Spider-Man.
Who became who he was through accident.
Yeah. He was just a guy dealing with problems. It's basically like puberty.
The Hulk was an accident. The Fantastic Four were an accident.
That is a running theme.
All of the X-Men are an accident of genetics.
Yes. It was the way Marvel was significantly different.
Yeah.
And they were just selling to their audience more than actually just selling to the idea of the comic book mythology then, right?
It was a different kind of story. They wanted a different kind of story out of comics.
They wanted to show the human side of the heroes. So the heroes were not just the big super dude with all these awesome powers, and the problems he had were problems defeating the villains, not problems that we have, like problems with money. Spider-Man was the first guy, superhero who had problems with money.
Because you had to, he had to buy his web fluid originally, right? It was this, chemical formula. And so the reason that he sent pictures to the Daily Planet?
Bugle.
Daily Planet is Superman.
Oh my god! Minus 20 nerd points right here!
I'm not even drunk. I have no excuse for these things.
You're at minus 40. Do you realize this?
How have I got another minus 20?
Last week.
No, I got plus 20 from last week.
Stole from Andy. Well, you're at basic now.
Gee, thanks. So yeah, he sent in pictures to the Daily Bugle of Spider-Man to make ends meet. He had to buy this chemical formula to make it himself.
And he had to sell his photos to a man he
hated.
Didn't exactly like or get along with.
And he sold his own
You
costume.
Have a problem with J. Yeah. Jonah Jameson?
No, I think Jameson is an excellent caricature of what a boss should be.
But yeah, so
I think I've worked with people like that.
Oh man, the guy that got to portray J. Jonah Jameson in the movie was perfect.
Oh, yes,
I love that guy.
He's probably my favorite part of the movies.
So yeah.
He's just perfect.
Mr. Jameson, your wife's on the phone.
Any last thoughts before we start moving into modern Spider-Man? Because a lot of the big content about how Spider-Man affected pop culture starts post-Venom.
Well, I think that what I said about Spider-Man being like the Charlie Brown with superpowers, that's the kind of guy he was before the 90s, I think. He was the kind of guy who nothing good ever happened to, and you felt for the guy. I mean, you felt like, oh yeah, this guy had problems like I have problems.
Yeah.
And externally bad things just kept happening around him, like every one of his villains.
Yeah, all of his villains are, you feel sorry for a lot of his villains. Except like, the ones that you don't feel sorry for are like Doc Octopus, who they made more sympathetic in the movie.
Yeah.
Rhinoceros.
Yeah. Rhino, and like...
He's such a douchebag.
Vulture.
Oh yeah, Vulture. But you know, you feel...
Oh, he has cancer, though.
Yeah. You feel sorry for...
Oh, he does now.
Oh, yeah, you feel sorry for the Lizard, you know?
Before he was just an old bald guy.
Oh, Lizard, I totally see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why they made Dr. Octopus more sympathetic, is because, you know, it's that kind of thing. People want the villain origins to mirror that of the hero. So a lot of these
the only thing that separates the hero from the villain is chance in these types of stories.
Yeah.
Or having an uncle provide you with words of wisdom.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing to have.
Okay.
It is a great responsibility.
We're at the cutting off point. We're going to go straight into modernization.
All right.
It's your last chance. Anything about traditional Spider-Man?
Are you sure they didn't have a spider car that could drive on walls? Was that only in the Migos?
Not in...
They have a toy for that.
They do have a toy for that.
I don't believe it was in the comics, but it may have been in that point where I was not really paying attention.
Just think about it. Think about how much money it would cost to make a spider car.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And think about Peter Parker.
Maybe when he was hanging out with Tony Stark.
Maybe when he was hanging out with Tony Stark, or maybe Reed Richards made it for him. From unstable molecules.
Okay, this is a cutting off point. Let's go straight into one of the most controversial decisions. In like, within a year, I really think, one more day, brand new day. Straczynski ends his run. Quesada pushes in this new idea. We have a huge retcon here.
Well, it's not really a retcon because it's not retroactive. It occurs in the forward, doesn't it?
It does force retroactive continuity in that.
Yes. Well, that's true.
It reverses the effects of what happened in Civil War, revealing his identity to Aunt May. That was a big thing.
Stuff. Yeah, I thought that was amazing that was so gutsy when they did that.
And they pulled it off well, in my opinion.
Yeah. I had no problem with it.
Was it done as well in Ultimate Spider-Man? I remember that she finds out because she's not stupid in Ultimate Spider-Man.
I remember it more for Straczynski's run.
That's probably true. That's because
Straczynski's way of dealing with that issue was so much better
That's because Straczynski is a better writer than Bendis. And that's not an insult to Brian Michael Bendis. It's just praise for J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes. So what did you guys think? I mean, like, coming from the background of when Spider-Man was still, you know, pretty young, all of a sudden we have this whole retcon to make Spider-Man young again. I mean, Harry is, you know, back in...
Wait, Harry's back?
Yes.
Why?
That is a huge retcon that they did. Okay. And it was just so ballsy that Quesada would even do that.
You know, I
thought Norman was back.
Flash Thompson's a jerk.
Norman's back. Harry's back.
Like, Norman is back.
Flash is back. Flash is back. Spoiler territory.
Whatever.
Flash Thompson comes back from the Vietnam War without legs.
What?
Holy, yeah, yeah.
Wait, he came back from the Vietnam War? When was that?
Vietnam War? Or
that was in the 70s.
Yeah.
You heard of
this. He comes back from a war. He cannot walk. That's like the big deal right now with Brand New Day.
So in Brand New Day, it's the 70s?
I have not read Brand New Day. I refuse to read Brand New Day because I cannot believe in that concept. But that's the big deal right now.
Personally, I think the big thing that came out of it was Norman Osborn, because right now he's pretty much taken over the Marvel Universe.
Yes, because they have this whole villains kind of arc going on with him.
He took over the Avengers. He replaced...
the Dark Avengers, right?
Yeah, he replaced Tony Stark as Iron Avenger or whatever he's calling himself now. Iron Patriot, I believe.
Do you know about this, Dom?
I do not. I haven't been to a comic book shop in a while.
It's pure blasphemy.
Wow. Okay, so...
It is Quesada urinating on the Marvel Universe.
I have to say now that originally, when we got to the top five segment of this, I was going to facetiously say that Brand New Day and One More Day and the Clone Saga and all those things were my favorites. I can't do that anymore with a straight face because I would throw up in my mouth.
Wait, favorites?
Later on, we're going to be going over our top five Spider-Man stories. It could be your top five least favorite, I guess. Okay. Or your top five favorite, whatever you want
to
do with that.
I don't need to change my list.
All right.
Because, yeah, I was originally going to say, hey, I liked Brand New Day. Oh, Clone Saga was brilliant. No, I can't do that anymore.
But what do you feel about this whole, like, they changed everything. I mean, Spider-Man and Mary Jane, Peter Parker and Mary Jane, made a deal with Mephisto to change everything in their universe.
Dr. Bong, right? Did you mean to deal with Dr. Bong?
What do you think about this? This is a major selling character being changed for the purpose of selling him as a weekly character and having new writers come in and create new villains, new stories with a simpler premise. We don't have Peter Parker dealing with life issues anymore.
Wait, they even took out that?
Yes, he's back to being pretty much like a student in college, right?
He's a villain of the week guy now.
Yeah, he goes through villain. It's traditional Spider-Man again. And you guys coming from a traditional background, I mean, you used to have issues like that. What do you think about going back to that? I mean, comics have modernized so much. There's like the whole concept of the story arc. Like, this is gone.
As opposed to, you know, like, oh, I'm fighting some mob guys this week, or oh, I'm fighting the Lizard this week.
Or Stiltman.
Stiltman.
Or Big Wheel.
Stiltman is awesome.
What are the names of those three mob thugs? We need to look that up. It's like Montanus Jones.
I only know Montanus Jones.
Montana Jones. He's not Indiana. He's Montana.
I mean, what do you guys think about that? Like, going back to the traditional roots. I mean, Quesada is selling it as going back to tradition.
No.
It sounds lazy, right?
On the one hand, I understand the motivation. On the other, the important thing about all of those old stories is they were written well.
And you don't think Guggenheim is writing them very well right now?
No comment.
Oh, man.
he's not even going to go there.
Are you going to go there, Alex?
I would go there, but I can't. I don't read the comics anymore.
Do you think they could take this idea to a good level?
You know,
I think if they handled it better.
Handled it really badly.
The main thing with Spider-Man is he wasn't evolution. It was a change, gradual change through the times, mirroring the times, and this is just a very sudden flashback to what it used to be.
In the swinging 60s, baby!
It would be like Superman suddenly changing back to the days when he would use his superpowers to mess with Jimmy Olsen's love life.
Oh,
if you need if you need more information, go to www.superdickery.com.
Remember, yes.
Well,
remember,
we need
folks,
more Batmite in our life. Yeah. Right?
Actually, they've been trying to bring Batmite back. But yeah, so the thing is that, remember, tradition is not always better. People who think about marriage should think about this too. Traditional does not mean better. Because remember what people used to do? They used to run out to neighboring tribes and steal women. That was marriage. You want to know why the groom stands on the right? Because he had to draw his sword sometimes to fight off people.
Wow, I just learned more about regular culture right there.
But yeah, so this is, and that's what the best man was, is the next best fighter, so he could fight off people.
Are you serious?
I think so, yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Oh man, hey. It makes sense to me, that's why I'm not arguing against you.
So here's the thing, is that traditional Spider-Man was fun, but it was a product of its era. Traditional, it would be like the movies going back to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends era, you know? And it's not better.
Yeah, I would personally rather have them actually kill Spider-Man off than go through this.
Yeah.
Wow, harsh words for Quesada.
Well, they have killed him off before, but for real, actually have him die.
And not turn into a pile of dust like in that excellent Clone Saga?
Yeah.
Where it wasn't really Peter Parker.
Actually, which was better, Spider-Man 3 or the Clone Saga? Clone Saga?
Hold on, let me punch myself in the right nut and punch myself in the left nut and compare. Oh!
Would you consider that a touching game?
He's actually doing this, by the way.
I don't think either of them was better.
Okay, so this is a total off-the-cuff question. Marvel is considering raising the standard issue price to $3.99. This includes the week, not weekly, out of 4 weeks of the month's Amazing Spider-Man. $3.99 Spider-Man. So you are paying $12 a month for Spider-Man for these stories. Does this change anything to you? I mean, like, the comic book reaching a $3.99 format is pretty scary. Because I still do subscriptions, and I'm like, that changes a lot for me. That's an additional $15, $16.
They were 20 cents.
Yes, I remember. I remember how shocked I am that I look at some of my old ones and they're like $1, and I'm like, holy
dollar.
Crap.
Yes, $1 was for the giant size.
I remember the dollar special. $1.25.
I paid $1 each for my giant size man things. I had to bring that in, Kevin.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh man, you just try to create a new tag with giant size man thing. Every single comic book based version of the show, you're gonna just say giant size man thing, huh?
Because I own the issues of giant-sized
man-thing.
Okay,
I am guilty of just saying Dom's touching games just earlier when you're hitting your nuts.
And there you go again.
Okay, let's talk about this. We're still in modernized Spider-Man.
All right.
Spider-Man joins the New Avengers.
That's fine.
Any thoughts on that? Do you care? I mean, like, New Avengers was pretty much just a kind of like, hey, let's put together all our most popular characters.
And by our most popular, you mean the ones written by Bendis?
Yes, let's take all the Bendis characters, take Bendis's fetish character of Spider-Woman, and put them all in one team. Do you care? Does it matter? Spider-Man with Wolverine and Captain America and Iron Man together is like, you know, a fanboy wet dream, but really, that didn't work out too well. A lot of those stories fell into the Spider-Woman era. Like Spider-Woman region, I mean, guess why?
Well, yeah, you had to add that too. Now you can put that tag in.
Screw you, Bendis.
Oh, come on. Bendis
I actually
right.
like Bendis. Yeah. I can't understand his
but
fascination.
Spider-Man, was the loner guy for the bulk of his career.
I mean, a lot of the time they would offer for him to join a team, right? And then he would join it for a little while, then leave because it would cause problems with his home life.
Well, the big time he joined a team was when he joined the Fantastic Four.
That's right. This was the new Fantastic Four,
yeah,
right?
The new Fantastic Four because
Ghost Rider. The one with Wolverine.
They all left.
Yeah, it was Spider-Man, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, and She-Hulk, right?
Yeah, something
I
like
thought
that.
You were going to talk about when he wore the paper bag over his head.
That one was a good issue.
I love those
I
issues.
I love that
Have
issue.
You ever read Spider-Man / Human Torch, the 5-issue miniseries from recently? Vaguely, it's really good.
No, I haven't.
I think it's even like under the Marvel Adventures label. It's really good.
But actually, back in the early days, quote unquote, Spider-Man and Human Torch were big rivals because they were the two teenage boy characters
butting heads
in Marvel Universe, and they didn't like each other. So they would constantly be tossing barbs at each other. Also because Johnny Storm was the rich, brash boy, and Peter Parker just didn't like that.
It's true.
So,
I mean, he's famous, he's well-loved, he's got, you know, tons of fans.
Beautiful women throwing themselves at him.
So you can see how Charlie Brown isn't going to like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's move on. New Avengers, not too much to talk about there. Let's talk about the really big moment. I remember I was working in really North Bay during this time when this was announced, when Spider-Man unmasked himself in Civil War number 2. When the workday was over, I drove to the nearest comic book store, bought issue number 2, read it in my car, and then said, okay, I guess that was kind of cool. But it was a big event.
It was a big event.
Spider-Man unmasking himself in Civil War number 2. This is not a spoiler. This has been out for like a long time, and it's been retconned, so what does it matter?
Yeah,
what were your thoughts?
Happen,
I mean,
but...
it was a big deal, right?
It was a big deal, but like all such big deals, again, it comes down to the quality of the writing. And I did like the way they handled it in Civil War, but a lot of the side Civil War titles, I actually felt...
Oh, Civil War Frontline was terrible.
Yeah, a lot of those side titles was, what are you thinking?
Although I did like how they did that issue of Spider-Man after he unmasked himself, where it's everybody calling him, what? What?
Oh, I love that.
And I loved how he webbed up the phones next to each other so people could shout at each other, and he's just like, don't talk to me.
And the Daily Bugle slapped him with a lawsuit.
Yeah.
For misrepresentation.
Yeah.
I mean, are there any thoughts on that? Like, it was a big deal. He
unmasked
himself. Like, the whole purpose of his character is not to reveal who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to protect his family.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, it was because Tony Stark told him that you don't have to keep the mask on to protect your family anymore. You can trust me.
So let's talk about this. Like, when that happened, did you think they're going to retcon it? You think it was going to move forward with the storyline? I mean, obviously now it's been retconned, but...
I thought that they were basically going to have an entire few years of story arcs of people going after Aunt May and Mary Jane. Because that's the logical conclusion.
That would be nice.
It is what happened with Aunt May.
I mean, one that went kind of better, but that's because it was a smaller profile character, was the unmasking of Daredevil. Well, not unmasking, but when, you know, the rumors were flying around that he was Daredevil. And
the Kingpin said about ruining him.
Well, yeah. The Kingpin said about ruining him. That was a good arc. That was also Bendis, come to think of it.
I actually love Bendis' Daredevil arc, especially since I love the Daredevil movie so much.
You see, you can do that with a straight face. I don't know how you can do that.
Ben Affleck is God.
Let me try this, actually. Hold on. Wow, I really like the return to the traditional Spider-Man. I mean, I really like the lightheartedness of it. And
oh yeah, I love that they went back to the original stuff that I don't have to think about.
Like those
I
three
love
mob
not
guys.
Thinking.
I love those three.
I know,
guys.
And especially the and ones especially... where it's mostly pictures. Those are the best ones.
Yeah,
and Peter Parker doesn't have all that emotional baggage.
They seriously, it's so much fun.
Relationships.
Yep. We can do this with a straight face. All right.
Okay. Alex, this is an expensive table. Don't throw up on it.
Sorry.
Okay. Let's go into this. Okay, we're still in the modernization. This is pretty recent. The same week that DC decides to have Final Crisis number 6, in which we do find out that Batman dies, whatever. He's coming back. You know he's coming back. Whatever.
Unfortunately,
Bruce Wayne.
That is exactly the way I felt about Spider-Man unmasking himself.
Exactly. I mean, we know
it's like whenever an X-Man dies. You just know it's not going to stick.
Especially Wolverine, because he can regenerate from his bones.
Depends if he's a Native American.
Oh, that's right. If Thunderbird
is still dead.
Thunderbird is still dead. Except they brought him back in Exiles, and that's it.
Isn't that his brother?
Oh, was it his brother? Okay, anyway.
So what the hell am I talking about? Batman dies. Issue number 6 of Final Crisis. A big deal. Same week, Obama comes out in the Spider-Man issue as a variant. People go nuts. People sell the issue for $100, and I couldn't freaking buy a first print of it because I was on work business for training with some other thing in Southern California. Tell me what you thought as soon as you heard about the Obama thing. Would you think it was like a big deal? I mean, Obama said his favorite superhero is Spider-Man. They put him on the freaking cover. Obama is like super popular at that time. Thoughts?
I heard
Quisada
about it.
Selling out?
I heard about it on the Colbert Report.
Which is funny because Colbert showed up as Amazing Spider-Man, you know, earlier, a few months earlier.
Yes. He actually won the popular vote in the Marvel Universe.
Wait, Colbert won the popular vote?
Yes, that's correct.
Popular vote in the Marvel Universe. However, he did not have as many electoral votes as Obama.
How about that?
Okay. What a universe!
Here's my question. Did Rain come in third as the third party candidate?
Rain! I am waiting for the day when Quesada says, man, we need to generate more revenue for Amazing Spider-Man.
In
Why
Korea.
Why don't we put Rain in it?
Let's put Korean pop stars in there.
Singing in Korean.
Let's talk about this. Like, Obama shows up in Amazing Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man sales are through the roof. There are five or six variant covers of just the Obama cover, including one with the monument of Abraham Lincoln behind him. Like, we had blue background, yellow background, green background. This is a purely selling technique. I mean, they're doing with this, with Amazing Spider-Man, so much as with Obama himself. I mean, like, Obama's already become this sort of, like, huge comic book icon.
He's appeared in Japanese comics all
over
the place.
Exactly. And, you know, like, we have the Alex Ross picture of him. Yep. Can you believe that? I mean, the only other non-superhero popular characters we've gotten with Alex Ross were the ambiguously gay duo.
Yes, I love that picture, by the way.
Which goes back to Colbert, by the way.
It does.
Let's talk about like, the Obama issue. That's a huge issue. Was it more Spider-Man? Was it more Obama? I mean, was that issue even significant? I mean, there was only, what, like 6 pages of the actual Obama story in there.
It's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
It's pure and simple, it's a gimmick.
It's not significant to Spider-Man, per se.
It's significant to Marvel in that it brought them money.
But as far as gimmicks go, they've done them forever. I mean, Muhammad Ali versus Superman.
I have that.
Oh my god, you have that? I would love to read that.
The Punisher meets Archie.
Punisher meets Archie. Anytime you have a crossover like that, sales spike. It's nothing new.
Do you remember, what was that? Ecstatics. There was an issue of Ecstatics that had Wolverine on the cover. And he said, and all he said on the cover was something like, I'm on the cover, right?
Yes. I'm only on the cover. And there's a toy fair that mocks that.
Yeah, and then the thing is that you open up the comic and it's him sitting in a room going, yeah, I'm here to sell comic books.
if you think about it, Spider-Man was what Wolverine is nowadays. Because Spider-Man.
Marvel Team-Up, that's right.
Marvel Team-Up. Spider-Man increased sales for other titles.
X-Men. Iron Fist.
Well,
so weird. It says Iron Fist sells well nowadays.
Does he?
Ed Brubaker writes him, man. He's amazing at it.
Yeah, in the 80s, Spider-Man and Batman were the two, Spider-Man was Marvel, and
Team
Batman was DC.
Team
that was it. Those two.
Oh, is that why Batman shows up so much in Brave and the Bold to the point where it's almost a Batman title?
Traditionally, Brave and the Bold is there to have Batman and Robin, right?
No, it's Batman with anyone else. It's basically Marvel Team-Up, DC version. Up. Yeah,
that's the thing is that Brave and the Bold has a long, long history. Same with World's Finest, which is specifically Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Marvel Team-Up is supposed to be just Marvel Team-Up, but really it's Spider-Man and his hero of the week.
Whoever shows up that week.
To boost sales.
I love it that Brave and the Bold is now an animated series as well.
That's right.
Amazing how far that title is.
I love that series.
Isn't that the one where Kevin Conroy no longer voices Batman?
Batman is the latest one. Oh yeah, he didn't voice him Batman either.
The Batman was the first one.
What about the Brave and the Bold?
Brave and the Bold, Batman is voiced by the guy from the Drew Carey Show.
Which one?
Are you serious?
Greg Proop?
What's his name?
Ryan Stiles?
No, brown curly hair. Kind of goofy looking.
The other one.
Okay.
Diedrich Baker?
Something like that.
Wow. What a big step for him.
Because the thing is that I know that in the upcoming...
He's done voice work before in SpongeBob SquarePants, I believe.
Oh. But yeah, in the upcoming...
very similar to Batman.
Arkham Asylum game, it's Kevin Conroy voicing Batman, right?
I'm SpongeBob.
SpongeBob's journal.
Have you ever seen that Casablanca remake with the SpongeBob characters voicing over it?
I gotta tell you, I don't know why we're talking about this. SpongeBob is an S word, by the way.
Yes.
I saw SpongeBob for the first time with Lita, and I was like, it was really adult.
It's funny.
Very funny. Kids watch this?
Yeah, it's about this guy
doesn't make sense to me if I think as a 5-year-old.
SpongeBob is like the bully Bullwinkle of this
It
generation.
Is amazingly
the,
good.
The Bullwinkle of the Animaniacs, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, kids watch this.
Back to Spider-Man.
Back to Spider-Man.
Let's talk about this. We've gotten to the highest level. We've gotten to the latest level of modernization, which is the Obama issue. Let's talk about Spider-Man as Marvel's cash cow.
A.K.A. the movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's the one who started.
You go straight to the movies, but I wanted to start even earlier than that. Let's go with the television shows, which I actually don't think we're going to talk about very much, but then go to the movies in which Marvel makes its money back after the whole 90s downfall of the
comic book secondary
market.
Don't forget the comics themselves. Spider-Man has so many titles. Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
But Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man were both canceled to create
Web
more Amazing Spider-Man. Man, Web of Spider-Man was terrible.
It was. It was about the villains, wasn't it? And it just wasn't even that good.
It was so bad.
Then there's, what is it, Peter Loves Mary Jane?
I remember I started reading, Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane is excellent.
Okay, yeah.
I still love it. It is such juicy teen gossip. It is not a Spider-Man title, but it is
It's a Mary Jane title.
I feel so much like a 12-year-old girl when I read it. But it has Spider-Man, so I'm like a 14-year-old boy.
Is it like Betty and Veronica?
It's so much like it, but it's so it is so juicy. I love it.
It's like a steak made of drama.
Yes.
It's Archie Comics meets Marvel Comics.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like Archie
it's a beautiful thing. Spider-Man the movies and television.
Well,
yeah, we were talking about it earlier.
Wait, did Spider-Man start the revival of the
superhero television
movie,
show?
No, the superhero movie craze. Did he reignite that?
It brought Marvel back.
They started with Blade.
And Blade did well enough that Marvel moved into Spider-Man.
Blade surprised Marvel execs because it's a little known character. And, you know, Wesley Snipes isn't exactly A-list. I mean,
he has the best of both worlds. All their strengths and all their weaknesses.
Yeah.
Their first rekindling of the superhero movie was the Tim Burton Batman.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, that's kind of sputtered.
Let's laser into just Marvel. I know DC was doing great, and eventually, kicked themselves in the ass.
That's the thing; they were not doing great.
Yeah, they weren't.
At the time, they did really well with Tim Burton's, and then they got to Schumacher. That's like the 1983 Atari crash.
Gosh darn!
Come on!
Gosh darn you, Schumacher!
Yeah, so, and then,
but
yeah,
it's the
so
thing,
the
like,
thing is
around
that
the time that the DC, like, movies fell, that's when we started getting Marvel's
That's
Blade.
When we get Marvel's
That's
yeah.
Nintendo, after Atari's fall.
Marvel brought-
I got you there.
Marvel brought everything back then with Spider-Man was its official, like, re-entry. And then after that, you know, DC got renewed interest. Marvel founded its own studio.
Before they founded their own studio, they tried with Fantastic Four.
That's true.
And
was this the Roger Corman one?
No. I'm talking about the
80s one?
No, I'm talking about the one from 2005.
The 20th Century Fox one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't made missteps.
Terrible.
Well, you know, the one with
Electra. What was that? I think you're talking about my favorite movie.
Electra's your favorite movie?
Oh, it's so much better. There's
Kevin,
chick kissing, man.
Kevin, did
Chris loved it.
Kevin, I have to ask you, did Daredevil try to do you in a very uncomfortable place?
Daredevil made me realize that I can see when it rains.
All right.
They're popular
Jessica
now.
Is the only reason to see Fantastic Four, either of them.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a reason to see the second one because the second one...
The second one has Silver Surfer. Played by Doug Jones.
All right. So, yeah, there's that movie. I remember going to see that movie. It was 1999, wasn't it?
It was my freshman year of college.
So it was
2001. I remember refusing to watch it for the first month.
These guys are young.
Just me.
This guy is young.
Yeah. I'm at least 2 years older than you, so I feel better about that. I was in my junior year of college.
You're all my older brothers. And I all get your, I get hand-me-down boxers.
So wait, he has to call you guys Dilo, right? Or something like that? You have to call me Aang now.
Hey, Aang.
Thanks.
At least I don't.
Lee from the Hulk?
No.
That's a great movie.
That's also
second to Daredevil.
That's another Marvel misstep. But yeah, so the thing is that the Spider-Man movies, even though I don't actually like them that much.
Particularly the first one.
The first one especially, though, it brings comic movies back.
I think the first one is good enough.
Yeah.
I think it's still got some missteps. The second one really changed the market.
Well, X-Men movie. The
X-Men 2.
The second one was good, but the first one was a really big commercial success.
Yes.
It surprised Fox that it even made $57 million its first weekend. They were expecting like 14.
So that kicked butt.
I think for both series, X-Men and Spider-Man, the first one proved that it was possible.
Yeah,
it was
the second one followed up. The first Spider-Man they thought was going to make like 50, and then it made like something close to 100.
70, yeah.
And they were like, I think we just broke a record.
And in fact, well, they did. Then,
green light the second one.
Yeah.
Freaking Sony.
Get that Xena guy back.
So, I mean, like, this, you know, Spider-Man brings back the whole superhero movie genre. I mean, it's really the title that changed. I mean, it's X-Men came first. Blade came first. They were the stepping points. And Spider-Man was
X-Men
like...
X-Men proved that it could be successful. Yes, Spider-Man was
Spider-Man
successful.
Destroyed records.
Destroyed
it was amazing
things.
That it did that well.
Which is funny because I really don't like...
I really like the second one.
Yeah, I like
and
the
even
second
though
one.
Second one has its flaws, I feel like they really felt they, where they
felt,
were going.
It felt a lot
one.
More like a Spider-Man.
It was also
the
first time the we got
one.
Like a very small stage director doing these comic book
it's
movies.
True.
We had Sam Raimi, and it was like, Sam Raimi? You mean like Army of Darkness Sam Raimi? You mean like... You know,
Hercules,
never really
Hercules,
had
legendary journeys.
Yeah, it's like never really had a huge hit. Sam Raimi,
it's like what's Bruce Campbell doing at a blockbuster?
James Cameron used to be attached to Spider-Man, and we got Sam Raimi, and he did a good job.
He did a good enough job.
And then we get to the point where you know Marvel gets Ang Lee for Hulk.
Eh.
Maybe a misstep.
That didn't work out so well.
But then you know,
and then what never happened.
But then
not,
we get like Christopher Nolan for Batman. I mean, like you know, I know Batman's DC, but like. The whole comic book genre started stealing as soon as Spider-Man became a
hit. Oh, yeah.
I know we're getting really close to even the hour mark. Let's go straight into product franchise. Marvel loves Spider-Man in terms of selling anything. We're almost to the point of Spider-Man toilet paper, and I would not be surprised if right now we can still buy Spider-Man toilet paper.
I'm curious.
You've seen it. There you go.
I'm curious, though, actually.
The Spider-Man flamethrower?
No. Do you still have the web shooters I got you?
Yes. Okay. Funny story about these. I wanted to play with them. Lita said no. I said, I'm just going to shoot them
into
the trash can. I'm holding the trash can, aiming right at the trash can. Guess what? I missed. These web shooters have been available since the first cartoon has been on the air.
Yep.
I'm talking about like when I was a kid, I saw them at KB Toys, if you still remember KB Toys.
Yeah.
They were so old. The web fluid had like solidified inside.
Yes.
So I had to use a secondary canister. I had to go buy a secondary canister from the Spider-Man 2 movie era.
Nice.
I put it in. I missed. Tons of little flakes of web fluid, which is pretty much just silly string, shoot all over the carpet. And I have to clean them up, picking them up bit by bit.
Well, that's your own fault.
And Lita yells at me.
It's
and
incompatible.
It was one of the most incredibly lame moments of my life. Thank you, Dom.
Woohoo!
Remember,
incompatible
kids,
web shooter technology.
Don't play with web shooters over carpet. Thank you.
Or just aim better. Just put your hand in the trash can.
If you're aiming at the trash can,
and somehow you'll still miss.
Do it right smack dab on top of the trash can.
All right.
But I mean, like, let's talk about this franchise. I mean, every kid knows Spider-Man really well.
Oh, yeah.
But not from the comic, right? Still
from the movie, the cartoon.
Is there a new cartoon?
There's one on MTV.
There have been new cartoons of Spider-Man ever since, I think, X-Men.
Yeah, Spider-Man is a cultural icon.
Yeah, I believe there have been two or three series since 2002.
There was the Spider-Man MTV one that Bendis wrote. What else was there?
I think Spider-Man's at least as big a cultural icon as Batman.
Oh, he's bigger than Batman at this point. He is everywhere. He is, like, he even has the colors of the American flag in him.
Oh, right.
Like, he is such a patriotic icon. I would tell you, a kid will know Spider-Man before Superman nowadays.
Really?
Which is frightening, right? Like, we grew up knowing Superman before Spider-Man. It's amazing how big Spider-Man is.
Well, then again, that's because Superman's movies are crap. And the thing is that also that Superman doesn't have a cartoon because
his cartoon sucked.
His cartoon sucked. Superman, what is it? Oh, The New Adventures of Superman, right?
Whatever, they sucked.
Especially since it followed up the Batman the Animated Series, which was one of the best cartoons of all time.
Yeah, exactly. You'd actually,
on
my syndicated station, you'd either get Batman or Superman. And if I got Superman, I'd turn the TV off.
Yeah, that's pretty much true, yeah.
Well, they tried.
The Batman Superman Adventures, right?
They tried to save. Yeah, they tried to save it by combining the two into the Batman-Superman adventures.
And the thing is that when Superman came on, I'd turn it off too. It's like, I wanted Batman! And so the thing is that the Spider-Man cartoon, while chintzy at that, in that era, it was pretty consistent. You know? I mean, it wasn't quality television like the Batman TV series was, but it was entertaining. And that's what I grew up with as my view. You know, I didn't grow up liking Superman.
I grew up remembering Madame Web and realizing she's not a comic book character.
Yeah.
She had her own toy.
Did she?
In which you could flip a spider piece at other people. It was part of a Spider-Man flippers or something like that. Some specific wave of toys they had.
Did they bring Madame Web back for that whole Spider-Woman thing?
With the multiple Spider-Women? Mike?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind.
You're usually the resource, the go-to resource on this.
Yeah, I know. I know all sorts of useless information.
Okay. I had originally written we were going to talk about Spider-Man video games. Let's skip that. We can talk about superhero video games anytime. Let's go straight into this. I asked you guys to come in with your top five Spider-Man moments, stories, whatever. They can stem from any medium. So we're talking about movies, television, anything.
Okay, most
Let's
of
go
mine
straight
will now
into
come...
it. I will start with my honorable mentions because I'm pulling a Dom and being a cheap ass here. I love the Mary Jane issues. That's Mary Jane Homecoming. Spider-Man loves Mary Jane. We talked about that earlier. Really juicy, Archie kind of style gossip. If This Be My Destiny, the Stan Lee Ditko arc that pretty much Spider-Man 2 stole all of their ideas from. And finally, the Ultimate Spider-Man issues in which he switches bodies with Wolverine.
Did you cut off my finger?
In which he cuts off his finger and it regenerates back. But let's go straight into seriousness.
All right, Mike, number five.
Number five.
My list is actually the moments in Spider-Man's history that got me to react the most.
Okay.
Whether good or incredulously, as most of
all
these
right, what's
are.
Your number five? Well, go five through one. Let's just do it all in a run.
My number five was Spider-Man, number one. The simply titled Spider-Man after the cancellation of Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man, and I believe Web of Spider-Man also ended at that time, so that Spider-Man could be launched. I believe it was McFarlane on the title issue.
Ooh, gutsy.
And if I remember right, it was a crossover with X-Force, which was also starting at the time.
Wow.
I believe that art was handled by one Mr. Rob Liefeld.
Oh, he's my favorite. I can't even say that with a straight face.
I wanted to add on to you, but I could not do it.
Okay, let's try that again. Hold on. Rob Liefeld. I love Rob Liefeld.
He's so good.
He makes Captain America's breasts look so realistic.
I bet you he could draw the Mona Lisa just as well as Leonardo da Vinci.
All right, okay.
Speaking of Rob Liefeld's rendition of the Mona Lisa, what the hell? On the one hand, you have McFarlane and his oversized 80-inch breasts on all of his women.
And bulges.
And on the other side, you've got Liefeld, who's got everyone with perfect 36 teeth. Always shown because, yeah, when somebody smiles normally, you can see all 36, right?
Oh, yeah.
And these two apparently had an ongoing, quote-unquote, rivalry with one another about who was aping whose style and who would want to.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Mike, bring us your number four.
Number four was, as mentioned earlier, Spider-Man, The Marriage, the crossover between the comic books and the newspaper. That's where I actually probably started getting into comics because it's like, oh, the same thing is happening in this comic strip that I read. And hey, look, here's a comic book that has the same thing. It could mark my entry into the comic book field.
Cool.
For a lot of people, that was actually their first entry into Spider-Man.
Number three?
Number three is the original run of Marvel Team-Up. Number 100, the final issue.
I know what you're talking about.
Run, Spider-Man teams up with the X-Men. And I was a big X-Men fan.
Everybody was a big X-Men fan in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I had started with Jim Lee's run, went back to the Claremont runs, and went back further. Claremont. And
there's nothing wrong with Claremont, is there?
Claremont
the
is on
run.
My list of the five people that have progressively become
more insane over time. That's the problem.
Really more insane? Because he had the most.
Well, he's not like, he's not ahead of like Frank Miller or George Lucas.
So anyway, right.
But anyway, in this issue, Spider-Man teams up with the X-Men and they take on Juggernaut. You know, the unstoppable Juggernaut. After he split his power with Black Tom Cassidy, his life partner.
Oh! And, progressive.
Yeah, I guess so. But this is the Juggernaut. Even at half power, he should be able to shred through Spider-Man's webs like nothing. He's got 100 class strength, even cut in half. Seriously.
Thanks, Mike.
Spider-Man is trading blows with him? Come on, he's only got class 10 to 15.
Thanks, Mike. Number two, please, before I start feeling horrible about myself because of listening to this.
Maximum spider.
Web swing.
Don't worry, you're about to feel worse because what I'm bringing up for number two is the Captain Universe storyline.
Captain Universe. I remember that storyline.
I'm not listening to this.
Spider-Man inherits the cosmic powers of Captain Universe to deal with some incredible
alien
threat.
Thing.
And what does it turn out to be? The Tri-Sentinel, a big robot. This is the big threat that you have, you know, Silver Surfer equivalent powers to deal with? What the hell?
I just remember him
going...
Wow,
Mike, this made your list.
I just remember like, hey, Mary Jane...
He's got the most reactions out of me.
Most
comic books...
A lot of these negative reaction type titles.
Wasn't there an entire page of that arc dedicated to him making molecular models with webs?
Possibly.
I think so.
I remember him knocking the Hulk into orbit.
Yes.
You're making me feel better about Quesada.
Yeah, Quesada's bad, but he might not be the worst thing. I only say might because my number one is OMD.
What? Oh my god. I can understand it getting you the biggest
emotional
response. That
got the biggest reaction out of me for Spider-Man for a long time.
So.
So we're talking about One More Day, OMD.
In case my geek speak is too good for you, it's all right.
You're reminding me of that one episode of The Simpsons where Marge has to paint a picture of Mr. Burns, and the end message is, oh yeah, he's bad, but he'll die. I like it.
Oh my god. Wow, Mike, you certainly have gotten the rise out of me with your number one pick.
Yeah. All right, Alex, let's...
I feel very sorry for
that. That would be number one in my worst Spider-Man moments.
That was actually my number one in worst Spider-Man moments. It was probably going to be a tie with when Peter Parker, the Red Spider-Man dissolved into a pile of dust.
Clone Wars.
Spider clone. All right, Alex.
Okay, my five are actually, Spider-Man moments in various media and how they and the way they affected me personally.
All right.
So number five was the live action TV show, which was on
the
TV
one where he's next to the fire hydrant.
I watched it on CBS Sunday nights at I think 8. It had the guy dressed up in a fireman outfit, and he would, you know, climb walls and shoot webs, and Yeah.
All right. And as an aside here,
I wanted to be him. Yeah. This is the same TV series where you get the quote on the internet.
How do I shot web?
How do I shot web?
So, but that was actually closer to the, original origin, at least, than the movie.
So here's something. I would like to remind all of our readers or let them know that.
Listeners.
Sorry, our listeners. I'm a writer. I'm sorry. That on Marvel's website right now, you can see the live action Japanese Spider-Man.
The first episode.
No, there's three of them now.
The
first episode is very good.
The first episode is awesome.
It is not good. It's awesome.
It is good in a,
awesome,
I love it way. So it got the biggest rise.
The biggest reaction out of you. Right.
Yeah, we're going to have to put that as a tag now.
Number four.
Number four was watching Spider-Man 3 in Japan.
Oh my god.
With the guy-liner.
Japan, that's totally different.
I watched Spider-Man 3 in Japan opening weekend. This was before it opened in the United States. So I didn't have any other people's,
So no one warned you about
it. Nobody warned me about it.
So you got guy-liner in the dance sequence.
You love dancing, don't you?
However, I was probably the only one in the theater understanding what was going on when he was doing the walk to Stayin' Alive.
Yeah, I'm emo Spider-Man.
Guy-liner.
Where's Tessie?
Yeah. So that affected me.
I think I liked it better when I went to see the Dark Knight with you in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a better movie.
I think that's
general,
so funny. You and Albert have both seen the Dark Knight in Japan. When I was in Japan, I watched Batman Begins because it premiered there. This is so freaking weird. Like, superhero movies are the international way of going to see a movie, no matter where you are.
Apparently. Yeah, unfortunately, Dark Knight came out like about 2 months after it did in the United States.
I had to try hard not to spoil Alex about any part of that movie.
Yeah, like I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, that's
September
true.
Is the hot month in Japan.
August.
Oh, it was in August?
August, because
okay, school's like a month and a half. Okay.
Okay, number three is when, and this is a spoiler, but who cares, when he switched sides in the Civil War.
I never would have expected that.
Oh my god. Spider-Man fighting for freedom?
Who does he side with?
Captain America.
Yeah. But when he switched sides in the Civil War, I thought that this was Peter Parker. This is what he would do. This is the thing.
Yeah,
the kind of thing that he does.
A lot of the early part of Civil War was peer pressure, basically, wasn't it? It was pressure on him.
Well,
so he felt like he had to.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, the rich guy.
And
it was pressure from the rich, famous guy, right?
Tony Stark was giving him all the right reasons him. And then Captain America comes in and gives him
the
moving speech.
The pep talk.
The monologue.
So was that actually a good pep talk?
That was a pretty darn good pep talk.
That's a very good speech. I suggest you go find it and read it.
Cool.
The rest of Civil War is not really that good.
No.
But just
the pep talk. If you go read anything from Civil War, go read the pep talk that Captain America gives Spider-Man.
All right. This is issue 6, right?
I don't remember.
Somewhere near the end.
I picked it up. I looked at it in a graphic novel.
That's cool.
Thor comes back.
All right. Number two.
Number two is when he got his first new costume. The black suit.
Suit. The cool suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually not so cool later on, huh?
No. At the time, it was
pretty significant.
At the time, that was like, whoa, Spider-Man changes the look. That
Anybody
would be like
their
Batman
costume.
Wearing red. I mean, this is, Spider-Man is red and blue.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal at the
time.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it didn't turn out so well. But yeah.
Man, it must be a lot for number one to beat that, because that's a huge step.
Number one was the death of Gwen Stacy.
Ooh, of course.
That is classic.
Because somebody had to have that.
She's still dead.
Yes.
No matter how much they want to retcon everything else in his life.
They keep trying.
Still dead.
They keep trying and the fans keep saying, stop urinating on us.
Yeah, so here's the thing is that, it's pretty significant because there are four iconic characters that will always stay dead. And
Uncle
those
Ben.
Are Uncle Ben,
just
Gwen
wait.
Stacy, Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, Martha Wayne, and Thomas Wayne. And those are the four characters who will always have to stay dead
in order for
comics to maintain any semblance of their dignity.
It's a matter of which one's going to get desperate first, Marvel or DC.
I don't know. 5 years ago, Bucky was on that list.
Bucky was on that list.
Hey, I love how they brought back Bucky.
Winter
it's
Soldier.
Actually very good.
It was pretty good. They can't do the same
with the Waynes.
I believe that's Brubaker again.
Brubaker, I'm telling you, man, this man can save anything.
I've actually been reading those
Jason
Captain Americas.
Should still be on that list.
He should still.
But Superboy Punch Reality.
Yeah.
No,
oh my god, this is turning into comic book geek speak.
Anyway. So that was number one. That was pretty good.
Number one.
Isn't that why you invited me here?
That is true.
My top five are parts of Spider-Man that have made me laugh.
So the bad parts, huh?
No, actually.
Okay.
Number five is from the cartoon where at the very end of an episode where it's been very bad to Peter Parker the entire time, his aunt goes, oh, and my friend Mrs. Watson is sending you her niece. She wants to meet you. She wants her to meet you. And Peter Parker's going, oh, great. She's probably like old and not very good looking and dumb and oh man. It's like, and then, you know, you see Mary Jane for the first time in the door. She goes, face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot. And just after all that, it's a pretty fun moment, you know?
I gotta tell you, still one of my biggest childhood, like, dreams was that whole concept of being Peter Parker and meeting Mary Jane.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, man. I cannot believe
like,
this happened.
It's like, wow, Mary Jane Watson is hot.
It's just the
and
key
now,
dream.
Yeah, 20 years later, I'm playing Spawn games. It's like how for a lot of
games.
It's like how for a lot of people, Chippendales Rescue Rangers was a gateway drug to furryism.
I love how you didn't say and Dales. You said Chippendales.
Yes, he did.
Anyways, number
Miho
four
is giving me a thumbs up right now.
And then number four
is there's a lot of moments in Ultimate Spider-Man, but the Ultimate Spider-Man moment where he's in Wolverine's body and he's on the phone.
So class, the best $6 I've ever spent.
And the thing is that, you know, he's on the phone and he can't control the claws and they come out and cut off his finger. He's like, ah! That's number four. Cause it just makes so much sense.
It's funny and stupid, but funny.
I even love at the beginning of that issue, Brian Michael Bendis is sitting in a chair saying, the next two issues are just a joke about something I came up with some friends.
Yeah.
They do not occur in the continuity of Spider-Man.
Number three is, I believe, also from Ultimate Spider-Man. Where, I can't remember what it is, but he says, I think I just crapped my pants.
What?
I think so. He meets someone famous. I think it was,
During the Kraven the Hunter series?
I think
with
so.
Ultimate Spider- when he has his movie, right?
Yeah. And where he, I think,
spoiler.
So, yeah. I think he meets Kraven. Yeah. He's like, oh man, Kraven. I think I just crapped myself. Cause this is one thing that Bendis has done so well with, Ultimate Spider-Man series is that you get the feeling that Spider-Man is just running his mouth off because, one, he's scared as hell. And if he stops talking, he'll start thinking. And once he starts thinking, he'll piss himself and run away. He's talked about that before.
Dude, I've read all of Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah. It's a very fast-paced, very modernized take on Spider-Man.
I like his take on Spider-Man where if Spider-Man stops talking, then he'll start thinking, oh my god. I'm 15 years old, or 16, or whichever it is right now, and I'm fighting something that could kill me. And if he thinks about that really hard, then it will kill him. And so that I really like Bendis' take on that.
The very first run of Spider-Man was something like that as well.
Yeah.
With Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
And so that's the thing, is that that's part of his character, and it's what I really like. Because the witty banter isn't because he's looking down on them. Like in the case of a lot of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger movies or whatever, where he just throws out a one-liner to toss out. But he's talking to keep himself from crapping himself.
Mike was just talking to me in silence about how excited he is about the Arnold Schwarzenegger episode in July.
Of? Oh, us.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. of the S-words. I'm at number two now, right?
Yes.
Number two is the Marvel versus Capcom series.
Oh my god. Because, wow, that is a brilliant way of bringing his fire. Oh my god.
Because
I have to think
is,
about my list again.
I really, because the thing is that, the Marvel quotes in that game were just so stupid and they were so quotable. You know, I mean, I can bring Danny over right here and just say Cyclops and he'll do like three different lines. He'll go, behold! See, if you didn't hear that.
Blast.
Exactly. And in
behold,
college, in college,
blast.
Behold, Maximum Spider. What?
Web shot.
And web shoot. Web swing.
Web swing.
Web swing.
Web ball.
Yeah, web ball. Web ball. And it was just so quotable that we became the common currency of our jokes. We would just run up to each other and go, web swing. Behold.
Maximum Spider.
Yeah, exactly. And then number one, which is very dear in my heart, is that moment in the first movie where he's trying to figure out how his webs work.
Yes.
And he's up on top of the roof.
We were just joking about this earlier.
Sticking his hand out and going, go webs, go! Webs, away! Shazam!
That's an S-word.
We'll do that someday for
There's
the Shazam
not much
movie.
I know about Shazam.
Other than that, Alex Ross and Elvis Presley both love him.
He wasn't Solomon.
I was a big Cap Fulmer.
You were a big Shazam? All right.
Anyway.
All right.
Number
but
one.
Yeah, that was my number one because it's just such a great moment.
To a lot of people, awesome. That's one of the best moments of the first movie. It's a true.
Yes.
It's a true testament to the fans, really, there. Yeah. All right. So I'm guilty. I went with the straight out my five favorite Spider-Man stories. Number five being the death of Gwen Stacy and Norman Osborn. This is Amazing Spider-Man 121 through 122. Great story. Establishes a lot of that whole concept of guilt.
He's guilty. He's still guilty over that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
even in the OMD.
I would expect so.
I'm not sure.
Probably.
I'm not sure how the
That actually changes things.
Well, yeah, because
Norman's
still
alive. It's a very messy retcon, Quesada. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, but yeah, those are the two things that define his character: is that he's guilty that he let his uncle die by not doing anything, and he feels guilty about letting Gwen Stacy die because he did do something.
Yeah, I remember that frame so easily, the one with him catching her, and you just see the sound effect, and you just don't really know.
Right.
Because he doesn't know. Well, I mean, in that panel it says, I did it.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he saved her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did that scene in Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, except it didn't go the way that I expected.
They changed the ending.
So number four, and I don't know who to attribute the credit to for this, and it's either Dom or Mike. I'm actually thinking it's Mike. It's Kraven's Last Hunt, the trade paperback. Amazing story about Kraven, this joke villain character, a look into his psyche and the whole concept of how much he really wants to just kill Spider-Man and how you feel bad for him as a villain. It was one of the earliest stories in which you really just understood the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those, probably the most effective villain perspective story I like is,
from the Flash's Rogue Gallery. Like that.
And Kraven, that was a very good one.
I mean,
you see where the guy is coming from.
It's really good. I mean, I think they reprinted it like 3 or 4 times. If you've never read this story for Spider-Man, it's definitely worth checking out. It changes a lot of things. But my third one is The Death of John DeWolf, which is that Peter David story. This ran as Spectacular Spider-Man. It was not like a prime story.
Yeah, okay.
But changed a lot of perspective.
Well, it was official, but it wasn't part of the official Amazing line.
Yeah, it was not part of Amazing. It was a second string story, and it was really, really good. And I was shocked that they even let this kind of story print. It was a lot darker. And even nowadays, when we see like a lot of comics going into that darker territory, a lot of movies going into the darker territory, you just didn't imagine Spider-Man going into this.
True.
Number two, The Conversation, which is when Peter Parker reveals himself to Aunt May, the Straczynski era.
Ooh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful issue. No action in it, just purely dialogue and just...
Because it's all about the character.
It's all character, and it's so played out like kind of a coming out of the closet kind of story.
Yeah.
Even. I remember Straczynski said in one of his panels at Comic-Con, a person thanked him for that issue because he came out of the closet
to his parents
about himself being gay because that issue gave him the courage to do so.
Wow.
So I mean, like, that's
meaningful.
I love that issue, and when I hear about that kind of story, I was like, wow, Straczynski, like. I love his run with Spider-Man. He did have the pitfall of the whole Gwen Stacy
thing. Let's not talk about that.
Which doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. Well, it officially doesn't exist now.
But,
right?
Like, he did such a good credit to Spider-Man. But what I really want to talk about is my number one, which is Amazing Spider-Man 248. I'm sure it's on a lot of people's lists. The Kid Who Collects Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Spider-Man meets his biggest fan, the kid who has
the
all the
Foundation, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He has all the paraphernalia. He has all the shirts, the posters, the toys, everything. Spider-Man comes to visit him, reveals himself to the kid, even.
And the kid says that I will never let anyone know until the day I die.
He'll never let anyone know until the day I die. And you come to the last panel and, you know, spoiler, I don't think many of you have ever read this issue. You should go check it out before I finish my sentence.
The kid's dying of cancer, right?
The kid is dying of leukemia.
Leukemia, yeah.
And
that
it's
was
just
a, that was
a
good issue.
Amazing superhero story where there's action in it. He talks about capturing some villain, but it was really a very heartfelt Spider-Man issue. It was really, I think, the first time he did it. Anyways, you know, like I go into a lot of the schmaltzy kind of stuff when we go to these top five.
And I go for the cheap humor, so
yes,
we're
I totally understand.
Apparently I go negative.
But I mean, like, we're running really long with this. This is actually going to be our longest episode ever.
It's a long one.
It's a long one.
Tom likes the long ones.
I do like the long ones. The internet likes the long ones.
You know, I like to say, you know, like, what are your final thoughts of Spider-Man? Where do you feel it's going to go? Spider-Man 4 has been greenlit for movies. I love Spider-Man. I really like the comics. I still read Ultimate Spider-Man. I just can't get on board with the current Amazing Spider-Man. I feel alienated from that crowd.
It's like watching the dog from when you were a kid get old and have to be put down because he's just
Jurassic Park.
Like Jurassic Park. You know, it's it's watching something that we really loved. I mean, I liked the Chintzy cartoon when I was a kid. And I grew up and it got better as I could appreciate it more, you know? And I was like, oh, this is really good. And now they're running it into the ground. And I really wish that someone would just take it out back and shoot it before it ruins itself in my memory. Because you know, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, I'm fine with that. Spider-Man 3 I haven't even seen because everybody has just said don't see it. And I trust everybody telling me don't see Spider-Man 3.
I saw it in IMAX.
I'm sorry.
I think you should see it in Japan.
No, I already saw a disappointing movie in Japan. Remember?
Yeah, I
have the same feeling about Miyazaki because I watched Ponyo and I went, I wasn't drunk enough for that movie. Because it still made no sense. Because Miyazaki's really lost it. You know? And you just don't want the good memories to start getting ruined by the bad stuff. Because there's been a lot of bad stuff.
If Spider-Man 4 becomes like a Schumacher Batman movie, I'm gonna do something I'm gonna regret.
Which is? Sell your Spider-Man?
Cosplay as Spider-Man with the nipples.
I haven't decided what it is yet. But I'm gonna do something I'm gonna regret.
Alright, so last thoughts, Alex?
Does it?
Mr. Mike, any last thoughts on Spider-Man before we close off this topic for 1 year? We cannot revisit a topic for 1 year.
The future of Spider-Man? Like most comic book titles, I'd have a sit back, wait and see approach. I hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
You have the patience of a tree, though. I mean,
you're the only person I know that still reads series that are going down the toilet.
Mike Berrymore may be an ent.
I still read series that are down in the toilet.
Like Teen Titans?
Oh my god, even Sean McKeever left that title. I mean, he writes Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, and I was like, wow, he got on Teen Titans?
Wow, he came off of Teen Titans?
Oh my god, he left Teen Titans.
So anyway, he
didn't get dropped. Anyways, let's go. Next week's topic, Stephen Colbert. I've been forgetting to mention the next topics every week.
Alex will be back for that one.
I don't know.
I can try.
At
least I'll be in your audience.
I think one of us will probably end up seeing Monsters vs. Aliens, in which Stephen Colbert plays the President of the United States during that film.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about him next week. Don't forget, you can reach us at www.s-words-podcast.com. And Mike, I heard that was what?
Groin-grabbingly good.
All right. That's a new tag, I guess. Anyways, you can also reach us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Also, Twitter us, twitter.com/s_words. Although that's pretty much your account now, Dom, huh?
You've always wanted me to get an account, and you found the right hook, you punk.
The only way I post from that account is I say, Kevin says something, and no one responds. Anyways, we also have a Facebook group. It's somewhere there out on Facebook. I don't really remember
We do check it, though.
We do check it, so we definitely do like if you post any topics on there. Let's go straight into the quote sound off, Mr. Dom. I hope you have something prepared, because usually we are not prepared, and we just cut out the moments of awkward silence in between.
No, Mr. Dom. Human Spider, that's a terrible name.
Maximum Spider! Why don't you come up here and fight like a spider?
Okay, here goes. You are so fat that when you cut yourself shaving, marshmallow flux comes out. No? Okay, how about this one? You are so fat that your high school yearbook photo was taken from a helicopter.
Ooh,
a room. Okay, how about, you're so fat that when you get on a scale, it says, one at a time, please.
Go, Webs, go!
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web, any size, catches feet, just like Clyde. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong, lives in mud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread, take a look overhead, hey there.
Forget, sorry.
Spider-Man. Oh, damn you,
should,
Dom.
Should be sorry. Any size.
Okay.
Damn you, Dom. Should be a tag.
All right. Anyway.
Any size.
Okay.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches bad guys just like flies.
Oh, thieves!
Oh, come on!
Am I the only one who knows that song?
No, I'm getting there. I almost have it.
Okay. Oh, God. I've been for my whole life believing it was bad guys.
Okay, let's start again. Spider-Man.
Oh, I can read off of that. Okay.
Catches thieves just like flies.
Okay, we just need... We just need two screens and Mike knowing everything.
Three, two, one.